Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Thanks for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. I am Terry Foy, and it is March 23rd. So, if this were 1977 and we were the Cornell Big Red, we would be playing our first game of the season. As it is, it's 2015 and we are almost halfway through the college lacrosse season. So I apologize that we haven't been bringing you your Inside Lacrosse podcast through the first half of the college lacrosse season, but we are hoping to get into the swing of things now and we want to hear from you. What do you want to hear? We know that you like your lacrosse podcasts and there aren't a ton of places to find them. So whether it's conversations among the Inside Lacrosse staff, just kind of yucking it up, talking lax, or if it's conversations with some of the, you know, notable players around the world of college lacrosse, or podcasts like the one we have today where it's an extended conversation with a coach who's likely to be in a pretty good mood because his team is playing well. We want to know what you want to know, what you want to hear. Our plan for the remainder of the college and high school season is to do a men's Division I podcast on Monday, a high school podcast on Wednesday, and a women's Division I podcast on Friday. There's always the potential that whether it's NLL or Division III or MCLA, we can sprinkle those podcasts in, but we want to stick pretty regularly to the schedule that I just laid out. And then once the MLL season starts, the plan is for Kyle Devitt and Chris Rosenthal to pick up full steam ahead on that. Today, we are talking to Boston Terrier head coach Ryan Poley, whose team is 6-2, ranked number 19 in the Cascade Maverick Inside Lacrosse Media Poll. For the first time ever in their second season, the Terriers are ranked. It's a really remarkable accomplishment, and it's a product of the current win streak that the team is on, and they're coming off of a significant win in the Patriot League over Bucknell, a team that had beaten Brown, which was one of the hottest teams in college lacrosse heading into that midweek showdown against the Bison on Wednesday. So certainly a lot of good things happening in and around the BU program. And so we talked to Coach Poley to get a better sense of that. Hope you enjoy the conversation. And the Inside Lacrosse podcast continues. I am Terry Foy, joined by BU coach Ryan Poley, whose Terriers are 6-2, have appeared in the Cascade Maverick media poll for the first time in program history, although I gotta say, Ryan, it's a relatively brief history. Congratulations on the number 19 ranking here on the morning of March 23rd.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate you having me, and we're certainly excited with our progress. Still long season to go, and we got some challenging games going up, so just looking forward to trying to stay consistent and playing, continue to play well.
Well, you guys are on a four-game win streak and coming off of a substantial win, an in-conference Patriot League win over Bucknell, 11-9 at home. A Bucknell team who had knocked off previously undefeated Brown at midweek. And so for folks that didn't have an opportunity to see this game, how did it unfold and what were the keys that allowed you to knock off a perennial Patriot League power and a team that I think more than anything else, folks around college lacrosse identify Bucknell as being a unique style. They play a unique style, and they're uniquely difficult to prepare for as a result.
Yeah, they're excellent. They're extremely well coached. You really have to game plan well against them, and we were fortunate enough to have a full week to game plan against them. And as you mentioned, they do some unique things. They 10-man ride, and that kind of gave us fits. I think we cleared the ball right around 50% or a little below it, which obviously is something that we'll continue to work on. But they slide consistently and continue to slide deep into possessions, and they are challenging, and not to mention they have great players, so they're very deep. Defensively, they have some great guys. The spring kid is one of the best long stick middies in the country, in my opinion. And then offensively, the Dixon kid and Joseph's having a great year for them. So it was a huge challenge. So the game, we're still trying to figure ourselves out as a young program. And, some days we have immense confidence and other days we're a little unsure of ourselves. And they came out and they scored on their first two possessions and went up 2-0 very quickly. And we were trying to figure out, hey, can we play with this team? This team's great. And, so it was a challenging, situation for us to be in, is just trying to feel out, hey, can we play with these guys? And, we ended up getting 2-man-up goals a little bit later in the period, which kind of got us going a little bit. And then it was a back-and-forth game the rest of the day. And, the one thing that we were consistent at was at the face-off X. And Sam Talco was having an unbelievable year, not only at the X, but also creating transition for us. And he went 20 for 23. And, he's matured so much as our team has, but he's just gotten better. Last year, everything he did was forward, forward, forward. But he's really kind of developed his game where if they're taking that away, he can go behind him. He can use his wing play, and he's a very good athlete, on the loose ball. So he was terrific all day. And in fact, probably made the biggest play of the game, Bucknell. We were up 8-6 at the end of the third, and Bucknell responded with three straight goals and put them up 9-8 with about 9 minutes to go, and Sam ends up getting one forward, and made a great shot. They got a great goalie, Ginsburg, and Sam made one from about 13 yards for his, eighth goal of the season. So he's been tremendous, and that kind of just got us, that it relaxed us a little bit. And then the game went back and forth. We got a couple stops, and then we ended up getting a 6-on-6 goal to put us up, 10-9, and then we won the next face-off and scored again after we got a shot clock put on and made a shot with about 10 seconds to go in the shot clock, and then we won the next face-off and were able to kind of secure the game. So it was just a great college game, and I'm just so proud to kind of be part of this program. And, it was obviously a huge win for us, but every win this year has been kind of special, as we only won two of them last year, and we're kind of learning how to win a little bit, Terry.
And I want to come back to that, because I'm a huge believer in the idea of learning how to win. It's something that you do through experience. A lot of times I think young programs, young teams, lose games that they shouldn't on the basis of talent, simply because there's a separation between playing well and winning in terms of the skill set that is involved. But I don't want to get too far away from Talco, because, when I look at you guys, both in the games that I've been able to see, watch in terms of the live stream online, but then also just kind of analyzing your box scores, analyzing your stats. I mean, the fact that you have a guy who is winning over 70% on this season and is able to be, a consistent offensive threat, given the fact that he's averaging a goal a game, it's clear that this is a team that plays fast, and you get stops. You're saving the ball at about a 56% rate. So, to me, when you look at it's funny, because it's not a matter of you're facing off well and that's why you're winning games, in contrast with last season. But I wonder how much, in your opinion, the fact that you're facing off, you're winning 7 out of 10 draws, is allowing you to play fast, is allowing your offense to get, opportunities so that you're scoring goals in a way that is outpacing your efficiency. And at the other end of the field, would you not necessarily be as efficient in terms of getting stops if you had more pressure on yourself? So just, starting with Talco, strikes me as an interesting position for you guys, given the fact that, last season he was practicing against the Syracuse transfer. He's a recruit out of Florida. He's in his second season. How have you seen his development, and how have you seen the way that your face-off dominance, I think it's fair to call it that, has impacted the rest of your game plans?
We talk so much about momentum, and we try to keep – we have advanced stats and things like that, and certain things that we like to concentrate on. And one of our biggest stats is can we get three goal runs? Can we get three goals in a row, whether it be in the first quarter or the second quarter? And we feel if we can get one of those, and we feel pretty good that we can get the momentum of the game, and lacrosse is such a momentum sport that, that can help us win. And Taco is such a key there, because I think we've scored 14 goals off the draw. And sometimes he'll get the hockey assist where he'll draw the point man, throw it to the point, and then we either score off. So he's, in addition to, him scoring and he has one assist as well, we're also scoring, where he doesn't show up on the stat sheet except for the win draw. So he's been so key to our success there. And we stopped momentum. As I referred to in the Bucknell game, we were at a critical point. They had scored three possessions in a row. We were kind of doubting. They were starting to feel good about themselves. We were kind of doubting whether we could get a stop, an important stop. It's 9-8, and they got the experience, and Taco pops one forward and scores. And like I said, everybody took a deep breath and said, okay, reset, 9-9, and here we go, and it's a 10-minute game. So he's just been terrific. He was great last year, to be honest. But he's really kind of grown up a little bit this year, and he's starting to do different things and not just push the ball forward and understand possession can just be as valuable as necessarily popping one forward and getting us the ball. And last year he probably faced off, I think it was, you know, high 50s or low 60s, and he probably could have been in the 65 range if he didn't push a couple forward where, you know, he just didn't win it because he pushed it right to the other team. So he's really matured as a player, and, you know, he's just doing a great job. And being from Florida, it was funny. I heard, I think it was either on the Syracuse broadcast, you know, Eamon talking about Williams and these guys from non-traditional hotbeds where they have to do everything. You know, Tackle scored 75 goals as a senior. So he was taking the face off and then playing first line. So he really developed his offensive game to where he's a great face-off guy, but he also has, you know, some, you know, offensive skills.
Well, let's talk about your offense, because the thing that stands out to me the most is the fact that, you know, you're the number 9 ranked scoring offense in the country right now, averaging better than 13 goals a game through 8 games. You had some significant goal totals, scoring 18 goals twice, once against Mercer, once against Colgate, and then 17 against Lafayette. And when you look at the personnel, your top 4 leading scorers last year were freshmen, and those guys are back and in large parts contributing. And then another guy who I was a big fan of, Pat Myers, who got out to a hot start last year before his season ended because of injury, you know, is another guy who's back. But the thing that impresses me the most is that, you know, for a second year program, you know, my thinking is that when you had such offensive contributions from your freshman class, those are the guys that you're going to ride. So it strikes me that Jack Wilson, another freshman, comes in as currently your leading scorer. So how do you kind of see that mix occurring as you're growing up as a unit, you have a new guy kind of, you know, being a part of the mix, and you also have two other freshmen that are in your top 5 in terms of production to this point. You know, kind of how have you seen the offense round out? And Jack Wilson in particular, what has he meant to the offense's success through, you know, what will probably amount to the midpoint of the season?
You know, but before we kind of just talk about individuals on the team, and you know, I first got to give a great compliment to my offense coordinator, Drew Kelleher. He's just done a great job of kind of meshing these pieces together and, you know, understanding, you know, that we're a young offense and when to push, you know, when to kind of push the fast forward button and take transition opportunities, when to slow it down and be a 6-on-6 team and be efficient. So he's done just a tremendous job with this young group. But at the same time, I think what makes us tough, Terry, is we're pretty balanced. I mean, you just named 5 or 6 guys that are having great years. We're 2 lines deep, and we feel confident. We even have a 7th guy that on most teams could probably be in their top 6, so he gets some time. And you know, certainly adding Jack to the mix has helped us. It's given us another ball handler, and Hilburn is a great ball handler as well. So our attack is a group that handles the ball really well. They're balanced. They can score goals, but they can also make the right decision and get us assists. And Jack is, you know, Jack Wilson has just been just a great player for us, and he's done so much for us, and he's a dynamic player. He draws a lot of attention. He's very unselfish. But he can score in a multiple of different ways. He's right-handed, but he has probably 5 or 6 left-handed goals on the year. He shoots it. He can dodge. So he's a very complete player. But, you know, Adam Shaw at attack's kind of been the quarterback behind her, behind the cage. He's made probably the biggest improvement, of any of our offensive players by just, you know, accepting his role, but also being a playmaker. He scored the first 5 goals against Colgate, another game that we were trying to figure out, hey, can we play with these guys? And we went down 2-0, and then he gets a huge goal for us, and the next play he draws a penalty and scores, and, you know, he's been tremendous, and he's kind of just like everybody else at the attack, very balanced, where he has a bunch of goals, but also, you know, had a huge assist for us against Bucknell. So he's playing at a high level, and you mentioned Ryan Hilbert. He's given us a really nice lefty presence, and he's a really high IQ guy. So, you know, the attack has been excellent, and then our midfield led by Cal Durr has just been great. And Cal was kind of do-it-all guy for us last year, and he had to spend a lot of time playing defense and on the wing of faceoffs, and we've gotten a little more depth at that position with Jack Beal transferring in from Dominican and from the Seattle area. So he's been on our primary wing guy, which has allowed Cal to just kind of focus on offense, and I think he's around 25 points as a midfielder. So, you know, Cal's just having a great year, had the game-winning goal against Bucknell. So he's been great, and then we're running 2 other freshmen on our first line, Greg Farish and Hayden Ruiz out of San Diego.
Well, I want to talk about Durth because you know, I've kind of been around Division I lacrosse for somewhere between, you know, 11, 15 years, somewhere in that span of time based on, you know, being in college in Baltimore and that sort of thing. And so I have seen an evolution of the way in which new programs enter Division I lacrosse and the things that they struggle with. And so in the mid-2000s, the programs that came along, you know, Presbyterian comes to mind. I believe, you know, Bellarmine and Robert Morris struggled with this a little bit. Their issue was goaltending. Or, I'm sorry. Goaltending is an issue, and we'll get to that in a second. But their issue was goal scoring. Okay. And I think that the prevalence of Canadians in Division I lacrosse and the increased ability to get them into your program in contrast and recruit them in contrast with that mid to late 2000s era, has made goal scoring, the finishing, so to speak, less of a scarce resource. And really now, that equivalent white whale is the big dodging midfielder who can draw slides consistently, make the right decision, make the right pass, get it, you know, carry through a double, absorb a double, whatever the case might be, and be the catalyst to an offense. So is that what Cal represents for this team? And if so, you know, how do you regard the idea that that is among the most important things that a new program needs to kind of happen upon in order to find success?
Sure. And Cal is exactly what you described. He's about 6'2", 6'3". Has elite speed. I mean, we played Duke, we played Loyola, we played some of these elite programs, and Cal is, if not as fast as anybody they got, faster. And he's just, you know, he runs like a deer, but so much more than just being an athlete. He has really high IQ. You know, I was talking to Roy Colesley about him when we recruited him. He's like, Cal's a better passer than he is. You know, his best attribute is his passing, and it couldn't be, you know, he was exactly right on. So Cal is, I believe, probably 13 goals, 12 assists, something like that. Had 3 assists Saturday against Bucknell. So he just gets it. He's tall, so he can see over the defense, and he's, you know, stick has come a long way since he got here. You know, credit to Coach Keller and working with him, but he's got a high IQ. He sees it well. He can dodge poles. So he's been everything, you know, and more for what we've needed. And, you know, he was our best offensive player last year, and he continues to just play at an extremely high level. So happy for Cal and just doing a great job for us.
Well, and let's talk about the other end of the field, because I did mention that another thing that can be a bugaboo for so many young programs is goaltending, and Christian Carson Bannister has made it so that that hasn't been as much of an issue in terms of the way in which you have a reliable, consistent presence at that end of the field. What kind of defense do you guys play in front of him, and you know, what do you think of him as a goaltender in terms of being able to bring out the best of that defense?
He was such a surprise, Terry, and we recruited, you know, we're starting a new program, so we're trying to figure out, all right, how many tackmen do you bring in? How many middies do you bring in? And we decided to bring in 3 goalies and recruit them when I was at Yale with Andy. You know, I saw him out of Texas and I liked him and, you know, brought him on campus at Yale. But, we were taking 1 goalie at Yale and we decided not to, you know, select Christian. And then, you know, watched him again and, you know, I thought he was good, but it wasn't sure. And, you know, we recruited it, but we were taking 3 goalies. So we brought him in and we thought he would, you know, on the depth chart without having 1 practice, you know, we had Christian as our 3rd goalie and he just kind of developed and he was better than what we thought he was. And he continued to had a great fall scrimmage against Hartford and we're like, this kid can play. And then he won the job, after the fall and into the preseason and he was great. He had the whole team had a really rough game against Mercer, our first ever game, which, you know, to be expected. And I think he maybe had 5 saves and let in 16 goals or something like that. So he started off at a really low percentage and worked his way up. I think he finished the year, you know, mid-50s or even high 50s. So after that game, I mean, he was, you know, regularly in the 60% and just playing at an extremely high level. And he's continued to do that. And he's, you know, working really hard. He lost probably 25 pounds over the summer. He's a captain for us. So he's been such a great leader for us, and he's such a great person, and playing at such a high level, and kept us in a ton of games. Him and Talco last year really kept us in a lot of games. We were competitive, you know, we only won 2, but you know, we were in, you know, outside of that Mercer game, we were pretty much in every single game. But you know, this year we're learning to win, and Christian and Talco certainly are a big part of that.
Well,
I was going to say the defense. I was going to answer your second question.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, the defense in front of him, we like to slide a lot. So we're, we like, pieces in motion and not to leave guys out on islands. And, you know, we're going to support the ball. We don't slide quite as much as Bucknell, but, you know, we certainly like to support our guys and, you know, create turnovers and get the ball up off the ground and transition the ball. So, you know, I would describe our team as, you know, as a sliding defense, but we're also aggressive. We like to get out, you know, throw a lot of pokes and checks and, you know, try to create turnovers and, you know, that kind of lends into our mentality of trying to score before defenses can get set in their 6-on-6 defenses.
You mentioned, obviously, with Carson being a sophomore captain, one of the things that is just kind of a fact of reality or a reality that new programs have to deal with, and that is just the idea of growing up quickly. And getting back to, you know, what we touched on earlier in the conversation with learning how to win, you know, what has been your experience with that as a coach in terms of just realizing that, you know, coming from a Yale program that really developed and probably itself learned how to win in a lot of ways during your time there. What have you seen from last year to this year? And kind of, you know, how kind of narrow do you put that knife's edge to be when you realize that even though you've been on the positive end of a couple of lopsided games, you know, there's still a couple of close games that you've come out on top of as well. So, you know, when you look at a 6-2 record, obviously you deserve an immense amount of credit for being able to do that in the program's second season. But at the same time, how do you balance that with realizing that there, you know, may have been some factors, some kind of bounces that went your way as well?
The first thing that comes to mind is our leadership. And it's kind of a unique situation because we don't have upper-class leadership. We have very few upperclassmen. You know, we have a senior who was on the club team, and he's done a great job for us, named Evan Heron, and he's been terrific. But you usually have 7 or 8 guys who have been through the battle and have been through the practices and know exactly what the expectation of the coaching staff is, and they can just say, okay, here's how we do it. And you show up, and, you know, it's a fall practice, and coaches are 5 minutes late or whatever, and, you know, something's getting done. And we just didn't have that. So, you know, the leaders that were chosen, you know, I got a point to Ryan Johnston from the Hill Academy from Canada. He has been just a phenomenal leader. He was selected as a captain as a freshman and has done even a better job as a sophomore of just, you know, upping expectations, upping accountability, and just kind of making the guys accountable. You know, I say this, probably say this 10 times over the course of a year, this is your team. This isn't, you know, I'm certainly the head of the program, and I'm directing this team, and I try to steer them in the right direction, but this is their team. So when somebody breaks a rule or someone isn't giving their full effort in practice, or, you know, that we're running a sprint and the guy comes up a foot short from passing the line, you know, that they got to be held themselves accountable, number one. And number two, if somebody sees and they don't say something, you know, how accountable are you of your teammates? So we spent a lot of time, you know, talking about accountability and those type of things. And, you know, certainly Ryan has kind of, you know, been the forerunner of the leadership group. But we also have Carson Bannister, Greg Wozniak, who's kind of come into his own as a long stick midi for us, and Patrick Donnelly, who hasn't played much this year because he got injured over break, and he's coming back from an ankle injury, but just starting to kind of get his legs about him. But he's, you know, he's been a great captain as well. So those four guys have done a really good job. I have to mention my staff and the job that they've done. It's just, you know, when we were at, you kind of referenced Yale, when we were at Yale, a lot of stuff was just done by the players, and energy was created by the players, and they knew the drills, and, you know, they just knew how to act because they had been through it and they had this upper class leadership. We didn't have that. So, you know, the staff had to teach the guys how to practice hard and how to hold yourself accountable and the right way to do things and the right way to dress and how to, you know, do everything. So, you know, a lot of effort was put into not necessarily coaching X's and O's, but teaching these kids how to, you know, behave as a Division I player, both on and off the field, in the classroom, in the community, and certainly on the practice field. So, you know, a lot of credit's got to go to those guys. They do. Justin Bingos, my defense coordinator, Al Vitel, and Drew Kelleher, who I mentioned earlier, the offense coordinator.
When you attain a milestone like being ranked for the first time, how do you kind of handle that success?
It's challenging, and we'll certainly, you know, you have experiences in the past. And we had a minor success at Lehigh, and it was only You know, we didn't even win the game. So, you know, guys were feeling good about themselves. We were 2-0. We took Lehigh to, you know, basically the last possession of the game and ended up losing 10-9, and guys started feeling good about themselves. And we go out and had two bad practices, and then, you know, Providence beat us, and Providence had a great game plan, and Coach Gabrielle, he's a great coach, and he's got a great staff, and those guys played hard. But we did not prepare. You know, we were feeling pretty good about ourselves and thought we had arrived. So I have a little bit of a past experience to point to. And honestly, Terry, we hired a guy, Brian Kane, to be our mental conditioning coach is kind of the best way I can describe him. And what he has kind of instilled in our team is just taking every day, one day at a time, every practice, one day at a time, every drill, one drill at a time, and not getting too far ahead of ourselves. And we're really process-oriented, we're process-based, and, you know, we'll just kind of stick to our process, which is pretty much Monday and Tuesday worrying about BU, and then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday we'll start preparing for Navy. But we still do a ton of individual work. We're still trying to get better as players, and not necessarily kind of just thinking about Navy or thinking about, hey, where are we in the Patriot League? All we can worry about is getting better today, and that's what will be our focus, is just getting better as individuals and as a program today.
Do you allow yourself much of an opportunity to kind of reflect on the past season and a half?
I mean, it's hard not to, and it's in, you know, this guy Brian Kane has probably helped me more than he's helped our team, because I'm a big picture guy, and I like to kind of look at where we were and where we are now and where we're headed. But, you know, I catch myself daily just saying, okay, just I got to worry about just these next 5 minutes and getting whatever I need to get done, and I got to worry about our next practice, and I can't think about, hey, how are we going to win on Saturday, or what's Saturday going to be like, or can we win this, and where will we be in the Patriot League standings with the league being so crazy. So I do reflect. I'd be lying if I said I didn't, but, you know, I'm trying to stay in the moment as much as I can, certainly enjoy it, because I know how much hard work went in. But, you know, as I'm going to tell my team, I'm already prepared to what I'm going to tell my team. We want to be where we are in the rankings at the end of the season. Like, today doesn't really matter. It's a nice accomplishment. We should feel good about it. A lot of hard work has gone into that, but it really means nothing. And, you know, the only thing that means anything is getting better, having a great week of practice, and playing it to the best of our ability Saturday versus Navy.
Well, then let me, you know, I feel like I need to indulge you, because when I look at what I care about, what I'm passionate about in terms of the stories that I report on at Inside the Cross, the expansion of the Division I men's level has certainly been, you know, at the top of that chart, to the point where, you know, I take a lot of pride in the fact that I've broken news on the announcement of some of these programs, including yours, and also, you know, I think that there's a second half of that, which is tracing the development of these young programs. So the question that I think is the most pointed way to ask you what I'm curious about is, you know, at what I think is fairly succinctly 1.5 seasons in, what would you say has been the most valuable lesson that you would pass on to a coach who was getting ready to go through the experience that you've just navigated?
To just enjoy it. I mean, that was the hardest thing for me last year, as, you know, was to just enjoy this whole process. It's such a unique situation that very few people will get to go through, not only as the head coach of the program, but even assistant coaches and even players. And, you know, it just doesn't happen that often. And it's a really cool thing. And, you know, our first win, I think back to our first win, and I think back to, you know, the first, you know, this year we've had so many firsts, and, you know, even the first recruit, and, you know, the first commit, and, you know, but we're all so competitive, and we're all, and I mean, it's probably why, you know, maybe I was selected by BU for other reasons as well, but, you know, I'm a competitor, and I want to win. And, you know, there was times where I didn't enjoy last year, and I'm sure the kids didn't enjoy being around me, because, you know, I was, you know, disappointed, or, you know, upset that we weren't ready to win yet. And, you know, that's the only thing. And when I look back and I was able to reflect after the season, and we got the second win against Holy Cross, which kind of got me through the year. We played well against Duke in our final game. You know, I was able to look back and kind of reflect and say, hey, that was pretty cool. So if I could give anyone an shot, I've gotten to know Ed Stevenson a little bit. I shot him and Travis a note just saying, hey, enjoy this. You're going to have some great times. You're going to have some up and downs, but really just enjoy this first season. And, you know, it's pretty cool. And now being a year and a half, you know, it's great to see the progress, and I'm very pleased with where we're at. But now, of course, we're going to want more, and we're just going to want to stay at the level that we're at. And the league is so tough and so many good coaches. So, you know, certainly we can't think about, you know, we're only as good as, you know, our last practice and our last drill. So we just got to always focus on getting better. And my guys have just done such a great job of that this year. I'm very proud of them.
Ryan Poley, we really appreciate your time on the Inside Lacrosse podcast. Good luck against Navy, and hope to speak to you again soon.
Great. Thanks so much, Terry.
I want to thank BU coach Ryan Poley for his time as we all learned a little bit more about the Terriers. I want to thank you, the listener, for taking the time to listen to us talk some lacrosse. And I want to implore you to, if you have any thoughts on how to improve this podcast, feel free to send me an email, tfoy@insidelacrosse.com, or comment at me on Twitter, at Terrence, T-E-R-E-N-C-E, Foy. Certainly would love to hear any of your feedback. If you enjoyed what you heard, obviously, please share it. Word of mouth is the best way to spread this type of thing. Tell a friend about it, share it on Facebook or Twitter, and check back next week as we talk to another Division I college coach, player, talk to a staff member. Make sure that you're checking out the Inside Lacrosse game day video coming out of every weekend of the college lacrosse season, and keep enjoying what we're doing on InsideLacrosse.com. Inside Lacrosse Podcast.